Well, go ahead and reopen up your Bibles to Romans 8. Where else? Here lately? What amazes me most about what we're going to teach on tonight is the fact that I received it from I was able to hear it. Because being religiously brainwashed by well-meaning people, and I got to throw that in there, nobody was trying to hurt me. But growing up in a very common denomination, the kind of things that I was ingrained with, you know, when you hear things from their earliest memory, age 4, 5, 6, and you hear that all the way up through your teenage years, boy, those things tend to stick with you. They are hard to change. And I thank God for the truth I did learn in that denomination. Thank God you can get saved there. They do preach the cross correctly. They preach the blood of Jesus, and you must be born again. Praise God for all of that. But boy, a lot of the other things, like, you know, they would really hammer a lot on, and not knowing they were doing it, but they would take those verses like there's none righteous, no, not one. And even though that is in the New Testament, I don't think they actually knew that that was just Paul referring back to the quotes of a prophet from the Old Testament talking about the unregenerate man. And that is true. I mean, before Jesus came, I don't care who you were. I don't care if you were Moses. Now, God would give you accounted righteousness like He did Abraham or anyone who believed Him. But your nature could not be changed. And that's why there's none righteous, no, not one. But to preach that verse to a born-again person, you're really doing them a disservice. And that's what we're going to get into tonight. Well, I received, you know, we've been teaching a lot out of the face-to-face documents, and we're going to do that again tonight. And I was reading over this again before the service. And what the miracle to me is the fact I was able to ever receive it in the first place. You know, prophecy is according to faith. It's in proportion to faith. And to be able to even receive this to the point I could write it down and not think it was some kind of devil talking to me. Because in those early days, I certainly would have thought it was, you know. Even before I start reading portions of it, and this is a long one. By the way, this one tonight, we'll probably call the tape this too. It's just called None Diminished. None Diminished. It's one of those at the website. The seeds of this, I know how I got to where I could receive it a little bit, was when I first heard Kenneth Hagin years and years ago teach on the In Him series. How many of y'all remember those? The In Him. You know, I got those tapes and I got that little book and I made those confessions. And when I first started doing it, I remember the first time I ever tried to say out loud with my mouth. And Hagin would just, you know, bless his darling heart, he would just gently hammer you. I was having a hard enough time just listening. But he was wanting me to start confessing that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I was afraid to do it. I was really afraid. And he would just hammer you gently. But he would just say, now you will never rise above your confession. And I go, man, you know, because the reason I was having so much trouble, I was so convinced that I was still unrighteous at my core. I was still just an old sinner saved by grace. That I, in other words, said different way. That doesn't sound too bad when you say it that way. But what that really is saying is, see, and this is the devil's boast, if you want to know. This is the devil's boast. God can forgive man, but He can't change man. That's the devil's boast. And so, I believed it, and I'm thinking, you know, at my core, I'm still just an old sinner. I'm forgiven, but I'm not changed. And you know, because we still carry around this dead body, y'all do know you're dragging a dead body behind you, right? I mean, basically, if you saw a picture of it, you know, by now it stinketh. I mean, God has declared our body positionally dead. Everywhere you go, you're dragging a dead body with you. And because that rascal has got all kinds of lusts in it, and I mean, I don't care who you are, your body will still sin. If you let it, it will. And, you know, and that's going to be that way until, you know, God says, I can quicken your spirit. I can take it from death to life. And I've given you my word and the Holy Spirit, your teacher, so that your mind can be renewed. But when God looked at our bodies, it's like He went, even though I'm God, Even I can't do anything with that. I just have to declare it dead and tell them I'm going to give them a new one later. That's it. Our body, he just had to declare it dead. And now we have to try and enforce that positional truth. And we've been talking about that some. But because I was so convinced again that I was, and my body was giving me a lot of help. Now here I am trying to confess that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I just told you the other morning, those of you that was here at 8:30, about how I was when I first got saved. I'd been an alcoholic for 10 years. And boy, when I got saved now, it come in like a little mustard seed. That first couple of weeks, I'm sitting there reading my Bible, loving Jesus with all of my heart. I didn't hardly understand anything I was reading in that Bible, but it was like food to me. And I'd read a sentence, and I wouldn't hardly, you know, it could say anything. And he touched the little children, and I went, he did! Ow, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. You know, Aaron could tell you, I was weird, man. I wouldn't even hardly leave the house. I got bedhead for days, you know, I don't care. I'm just get my robe and my Bible and sit there. Now here's the part that I'm going to lose some religious folks right here. Because I'm like that on the inside, and I'm sitting there loving Jesus, reading my Bible, sipping my bourbon and Coke, and smoking them cigarettes. And what's funny, I tried to make myself read the Bible before. Anyone ever do that before you're saved? Oh, and you come to the begats. Oh, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so, who begat. You know, or you get over into the, you know, like Numbers. You ever try to, you know, go through Numbers? Oh, and 184,612 went to 347,125. Boy, I mean, it was like pulling teeth before I got saved. But now I'm saved. Now I'm not very renewed. I mean, I'm still sipping my bourbon and Coke, smoking. Look like a freight train in there, you know. Dave talks about the cops. They wanted to, you know, they had to, you know, get through the smoke to see what was in that wreck, you know. Well, that's about the way it was at my house, you know. You had to wonder if Gary's really in that smoke over there. Yeah, he's in there. Okay. But now, in that condition, bourbon and Coke in one hand, cigarette in the other, probably listening to Bad Company at the time on the bump, 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 Bad Company. I don't care if it was 30 years ago. That's still good music. I'm telling you now, it's good music. Now here I am in that condition, and here's this guy on this tape going, you need to confess. You'll never rise above your confession. You need to confess what the Bible says about you. And he'd quote that verse. Now you need to say this out loud. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Sip, sip. Smoke, smoke. Bum, bum, bum. Bad Company. I am the righteousness of God. I was having a little trouble. I better read this book again, this in him book. I don't know about this. You know, and I'm reading it and I'm reading it. Yes, sir. Go to Romans. You're in Romans 8? Good. Hold your place there. We are going to come to it. But look at Romans. I think it's 9. Lord, you got to help me here. Maybe it's 10. Yeah, it's 10. Thank you, Lord. See, and the reason I was having trouble with it is I was really having the same problem that the Jews have. It's the same. She likes, you know, now, don't laugh too much. They'll be wondering about your first days, too. It may be because she can relate so well. Y'all like it best when we're transparent. Give you hope, doesn't it? Glory to God. That's why Sue and I tell everybody. We give people great hope everywhere we go. Because even though the Lord's changed us a lot, you know, you can't be around us 15 minutes, you'll find out we're just as plain as dirt. You know? If God can use us, trust me, there's great hope for you. He can use anybody, I'm telling you now. Hallelujah. But see, the reason I couldn't do it, and the reason it took a long time, is because my understanding of righteousness was the same problem that causes the Jews, even to this day, to stumble over what real righteousness is. Well, Paul talks about that here in 10, Romans 10. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Now here it is. "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes." Glory to God. Why can I stand there? And I could have done it that first week, as much as I can do it 25 years later, going to Korea this weekend to preach the gospel. I am not any more righteous today than I was that first day that I bowed my knee in my living room and asked the Lord Jesus to forgive me and come into my heart. Because I'm not going to heaven based on my righteousness. That, Sue says, that's good preaching, babe. Hallelujah. I'm going to heaven based on His righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Him. And that's why Kenneth Hagin called that series, that tape series, and he called that book "In Him." Boy, it is only in Him. It is not my righteousness. It is not my righteousness. Back when Sue and I first got saved, now, many people in here have met my mom and dad now, and so they know what I'm talking about a little bit. They've both been good parents to me all the days of my life. My dad's been a good Baptist daddy, and my mama's been a good mama, to me. But now, my mom, if you hang around her very much, you'll just know like I already know. She's about the closest thing to a real saint on earth you're ever going to meet. She just loved the devil if he'd repent. She said, "Now, devil, scooch up here to the table and have some cookies and milk, and let's talk. You got to quit rebelling against God." That's about the way my mama is. It wouldn't make any difference who. I mean, am I telling the truth? Now, my dad, who is saved, he's a little rougher around the edges, especially in the earlier days. He's mellowed now. He's 85. But in the earlier days, he was a little more tough. And I wasn't as sure about my dad going to heaven when I first got saved. I mean, I knew for sure Mom was. There's just absolutely no doubt. But there was a little twinge. So next time we go up to the lake to visit with him, I hardly even said hello. I just walked in. Dad was sitting on the couch. I still remember. I walked right over. He's like, "Hi, Mom." "Dad, how are you planning on getting to heaven?" His answer was, "By the blood of Jesus and no other way." I said, "Good answer, Dad. Good answer. Hallelujah. Let's eat. I'm done. Hallelujah." But see, that's an understanding of the righteousness of God. We are the righteousness of God. Say it. In Christ Jesus. Now, have we got that settled? We're not talking about you going to heaven. The blood is enough. But now, right, let me give you the flip side of that coin. Yes, sir. Flip back over. I'm going to let him give it to you. Romans 8. That fact does not mean he intends to leave you alone. And here it is. After we could go line by line like Dave has, starting at actually Romans 6, Romans 7, Romans 8, leading up to this passage. But let's look at the end of the matter. He talks about when the Holy Spirit begins helping our weaknesses. Aren't you all glad He does? Romans 8:26. Now watch this. "Likewise, the Spirit," capital S, and that should be capital S, "also helps our infirmities," our weaknesses. "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." And while that process is going on, now don't lift this next verse out of its context like they do everywhere. While you're letting the Holy Spirit pray for you, you can rest assured all things work together for good to them that love God. to them who are the called according to His purpose. And what is His purpose? He tells you in the next verse. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, right here we could go all the way back to Genesis. You know how God made man. He took the dust of the earth and He formed that body. But there wasn't any life in it. So it says God breathed life into the Son, into Adam's body. But it was years. I mean, I knew that in Sunday school when I was a little kid. But praying in the Holy Ghost, meditating the Word. One day while I was doing that, meditating there in John, where all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And there's a little pigtail at Esli in the Greek that says, no, not one single thing. And right there I had a vision, and I saw the pre-incarnate Jesus in the garden walk right over to Adam's body, lift him up like this. And it was the Son who breathed life into Adam. And Adam, originally before the fall, was that life on the inside of him originated from the second member of the Godhead. And he was created from the get-go, righteous, holy in his nature. Glory to God. That's the way God made man in the beginning. He wanted him made in the image of God, in the image of the Son. So what happens? You know what happens? Satan comes and tempts Eve, and she was in the transgression, but she didn't really cause it. The blame is laid to Adam because she was deceived, but he was not. And when he violated God's word, sin entered into him. And that, you know, there is no sin in Christ's nature. There is no death in His nature. It says that sin entered and then death by sin. What does that mean? Now the inside of Adam is different. It's no longer like. It's no longer breathed from that second man. So now God, he could have just wiped out Adam and Eve and started all over again. Couldn't he? Could have just said, well, that's it. Heck with you guys. Or he wouldn't say that. But he'd say, I'm starting all over again. You know, could have. No, he made a decision right then. That decision is what this verse is talking about. When it says predestinate, all that's really saying is he made a decision right then, before any of you are ever on the scene. He made a decision and he will not repent from it. He will not change. He is determined that every person that ever believes this gospel, the end result, they will be conformed back to the image of his Son. He says, I don't want you just forgiven. I want you back the way I originally made you. I am, my purpose is that you be conformed back again to the image of my Son. Not just forgiven and still sin on the inside, still death on the inside. No, I've already given you that nature like it's in seed form. And your righteousness is of me. Don't you ever think you're earning your way to heaven. But he says, if you learn that seed that I gave you as a part of my grace, as a free gift, if you learn how to nurture that seed, it can take over your whole garden and progressively. That takes us to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 again. By now, I'm sure you know it by heart. As we behold the glory of the Lord, we are changed. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, that means a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into this, say it with me, same image from glory to glory. That means progressively. It doesn't happen overnight. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We all with open face, beholding as in a mirror. I've got a tape series that we call The Father's Plan for You. And part of that, I lead the people in these mirror confessions. And it's based on the verse in 1 John where it says, as He is, so are we in this world. And in your spirit, that is exactly the truth. How much of that makes it to full harvest where it appears on your limbs? That has everything to do with you and not God. It has everything to do with the ground that the seed is sown into. You know in Mark 4 where it talks about, you know, sower sows the seed, and seed fell on this kind of ground, and it fell on that kind of ground, and it fell on that other kind of ground. And, you know, most of the ground, the life began to grow, but then it was snuffed out one way or another. One day the Holy Spirit said to me, make sure you understand it. There never was anything wrong with the seed. The seed was perfect in every case. The harvest depended totally on the ground. He was talking to me that day. Aren't you glad he wasn't talking to you? He said, what are you going to do about those rocks in your ground? What are you going to do about those thorns? What are you going to do about all that? Because there's certainly nothing wrong with that new nature I put on the inside of it. You going to let me deal with that old rocky ground? You going to let me deal with that old stony ground? Let more and more of that nature of Christ come to the forefront? So you can be really conformed to that image, not just on the inside, but on the outside. Now, don't you find it interesting that Romans 8, we hardly ever connect that up. That Romans 8 there, are we still? No, we're over in 2 Corinthians. Now, go back to Romans 8. This is worth looking at. Now, you got to see this. This is part of assimilation, meditation. I don't know how many times. I don't know. Probably 30, 40, 50 times through Romans over the years. And I never connected this up until one day just praying. And suddenly it's like, dear God, what cabbage truck have I been on? We see that right there, Romans 8, 29, where he's coming to the conclusion of this chapter. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. We see that real plain. That's his plan, isn't it? Now back up in the same chapter to verse 14. For as many as are led by the little s, the new nature, the nature of Christ on the inside. They're the mature sons of God. What's he really saying? Hey, he says in that same chapter, if you don't have that nature, you're none of his. You're not even any of his. But if you do have it, now you're his. Okay? Now, near the end, he's saying that the idea is that you be conformed to that image. Now, you've got the image on the inside of you, or you're none of his. So what's he saying? Well, those that are the mature sons of God, they're the ones that have let that new nature become their leadership. They're the ones that have let that new nature conform what they do on the outside. See, you're legally the righteousness of God. Let's go back to bourbon drinking, smoking, bad company listening. That wasn't the only one. Others too. I'd probably name your favorite then. So I don't want to do that. Bum, 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 bad company. Anyway. I love you, Jesus. Bum, bum, bum. I'll never forget those days. Now, you tell me, you scholars, on the inside, was I the righteousness of God in Christ? Sure. On the inside, I had the nature on the inside. Looking at my outside, what do you think? Can you see Jesus sitting there at that table? See, that's what I'm talking about. It's funny, isn't it? You know you can't see him sitting there drinking old bourbon and coke. Smoking and listening to bum, bum, bum. Although I'm not, anyway. Well, what's the deal? Hey, we're not talking about going to heaven now. We're talking about how much are we going to let the new nature conform us to his image while we're on this side of heaven. While we're here, where the world can really see somebody. You know, what did Jesus say? All right, this will help you. Jesus said, Philip, have I been with you so long and you don't know me? You don't know the Father that I keep telling you about? You say, show us the Father. Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why? Because Jesus was the walking image of the Father. He is the express image of God. If you want to see what See, that's why I know that God doesn't put sickness on people to teach them stuff. Because I don't see Jesus doing it. You know, God the Father doesn't bankrupt your business to humble you. How do I know that? Because Jesus didn't do that. You know? I don't... And we could go on and on and on. But see, Jesus, because he was really walking in all the fullness of it, he'd say, look at me if you want to see the Father. Now get the picture again of bourbon sipping, smoking Gary. I am legally on the inside the righteousness of God. But at that moment, could I tell Steve, you want to see Jesus? Sip, sip, puff, puff, bomb, bomb, bomb. Look at me. And by the way, right about then, there's more stuff than just fleshly things. Because I had been raised on legalism pretty much my whole life. I was mean as a snake. Oh, yeah. Sue ought to go to church. She's not even born again yet, but I'm thinking she needs to go to church. And so I'm trying to get her to go to church. And she's being real nice to me, really. I look back at it now, but at the time, she didn't want to go to church. Have y'all noticed unsaved people don't want to go? See, but that didn't make any difference to me. So, you know, now, I mean, I have the seed on the inside in mustard seed form. I mean, it's just barely in there. It's in there. So it wasn't just those fleshly things. It was like, you don't want to go to church? I'll show you the love of God. Wham! And I threw my Bible at her. If you want to see Jesus, look at me. Show you the love of God. Y'all see the point? And you're also seeing why a lot of people don't want to follow us? Sirs, we would see Jesus. The whole world, that's their cry right now. We would see Jesus. And the only Jesus they're ever going to see is the Jesus that lives in us. That's why God loves us, and he loves them way too much to leave us the way we are. He is relentless at this. You spend any time... Why do you think you keep having those impasses? God, I want to pray. I want the glory. I want the... Not for myself, Lord. I only want it for you. However, I want the power. When I pray, I want the blind eyes to open. And he's not against that. He wants all that too. He's going, but I need you to change just a little bit. No, God. Now see, here's where religion steps in. Trying to explain this back to God. God, don't you understand that it's not by my righteousness? And God goes, I totally understand that. We're not talking about you going to heaven now. We're talking about how are you representing Christ to a lost and a dying world? When they see you, do they see anything different? And again, you have to be real careful here because it's real easy to slip over into, see, the old version of holiness. No makeup. Aren't you all glad those days are over? Glory to God. You know? No makeup, no jewelry. You know, there's no end to that. If you start that kind of stuff, there's no end to it. Pretty soon there's no TV. They get rid of all the TVs. Kenneth Hagin says, we run out of stuff to get rid of. So, you know, we thought about maybe Cokes. Cokes must be bad for you now. Soda pop. That's it. It's got to be soda pop now. I mean, there's no end to it, see? But what God's after is the real holiness and the real righteousness, which is 2 Corinthians 3:18. He put the seed on the inside, and as we behold Him, behold that glory of the Lord as in a mirror, we are changed into that same, say it again with me, same image. Now, that's God's plan. That's how He intended to do this from the beginning. Well, now let me read. When it says same image, wouldn't that mean none diminished? Let me give you one more visual parable, and then we'll get into reading some of this. One of the things that I read to you a few weeks ago where the Holy Spirit was talking to me, He said, have you ever seen any kind of a plant where you take a single seed and you plant that seed in the ground, and you tend it and fertilize it and water it, and later on you have a plant grow from that seed, and you tend it and nurture it, and then finally one day it opens up and the harvest has come, and out of that whole plant there's only one seed. Have y'all ever seen a seed like that? Any kind of plant like that? You cut open a watermelon, what do you find? Lots of seeds. Cut open an apple, what do you find? Lots of seeds. Cut open anything, you find lots of seeds. He says, yes, okay, I'll let him preach it to you. Go to John 12. You'll see Jesus himself, he's calling himself the seed there. He's calling himself the seed. I'm just going to pretty well quote it and I'll let you look at it. But he says, you know, unless a corn of wheat, unless it falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. Now, he's talking about himself. He is the only, can I say human, if you'll allow me, only vessel. Let's say it that way. The only human vessel on the planet at that moment that has righteousness in his spirit. He is the only one that has the very life of God on the inside of him. He is like a seed, but as long as he stays like that, he is the only one. Now, he can put his mantle of authority on the disciples, and they can go out and do miracles and cast out devils, but they're still not changed. They're still got death on the inside of them. But he's going, if you really want to see the faith of Jesus, it's in John 12 there. Because he's saying, you know, I know if I stay here, the blind will see, the lame will walk, the deaf will hear. But my faith is, if I allow myself to become this seed, and I allow myself to be planted in the earth, it's going to bear much fruit. Said another way, like every plant, it's going to produce many seeds, all of them capable of producing what the original produced. And you can see that in God's plan in nature. What if it was so that every generation of watermelon got weaker? You know, like you took the seeds out of the watermelon you ate this week and you planted those watermelons, but when they grew up, they just weren't quite as good as the watermelon that they came from. And then those seeds, the next generation got weaker. Hey, by these many thousands of years, watermelons would be about the size of grapes. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Because it'd be diminished all the time, diminished every generation. That's not even in nature the way God did it. Not even in nature is it that way. No, every seed produced can produce what the original seed produced. That's why Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do. But you know what's kept us from it? Religion! Lies! Spoken in the name of God, but spawned in hell. This is the night I'm being nice. Well, it is. There's only one spirit of truth, and it comes from him or somebody else, somewhere else. All right? Jesus said, here's my faith. I believe that it will be worth it. That even though if I stay on planet Earth, the blind will see, the lame will walk, the deaf will hear. I have faith. Not only in my Father, that He won't leave my soul in hell, but He'll raise me up and glorify me. But I have faith in all those that will hear this gospel. That all down through the generations, they're going to hear this gospel, believe it, be quickened to new life themselves, will let the Holy Spirit grow that up to a mature tree on the inside, and they will be able to do the same works also. That's the faith of Jesus Christ. Amen? Well, so can you see the principle that the seed produced every generation, even in nature, every crop, those seeds can produce what the original produced. Can you see that? Not diminished. They can do the same. All right, now watch this. This one is called an undiminished. I'm just going to read portions of it. He says, Holy Spirit says, now do you perceive my wisdom in providing you with the image of him who is to fill your hope? Allow no image provided by religion. Permit no image diminished by the reasonings of man. Receive the image I have provided, for it is into that likeness that my spirit shall conform you. Did you ever notice in the Ten Commandments way back there in Exodus 20? I am the Lord thy God that brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And almost the first thing out of his mouth, thou shalt make no graven images. Thou shalt not bow down before them. Thou shalt not serve them. Why? Almost the first thing out of his mouth does he say that? Because he knows we tend to become like what we worship. And he does not want you bowing down to any image that man makes. There's only one image that he wants us to become like. And he provided that image. That is Jesus Christ, the Lord. He knew that the day would come that we could see. In one of my commentaries, I love the way they phrase this. It says, in the four Gospels, we see, as we behold Jesus, we see God as he is and man as he should be. And that is exactly right. We see the man, the only image, that is the pattern that all that God is. He is determined. He will not change his mind about this. We are all going to be conformed to that same image. Amen? Amen? So he's saying, don't allow it. See, what he's talking about, the Holy Spirit knows my history like he knows your history. He knows the image that was put in me sitting there in all those years in church was, you're just an old sinner. That paints a picture on the inside of you. There's none righous, no, not one, you know, and just thundering at you. The older I get, that really works good, doesn't it? Anyway, I think they call these jowls now, but anyway. I had an image on the inside that was put in me, not by God. Well-meaning men telling me lies in the name of God. Now let's get it straight. That's what it was. It's just lies. It's called, and they don't understand it themselves. They're not being malicious. They're just wrong. It's not what the Bible says. He says, don't allow that kind of image. You're going to have to rise above that. I gave you the image. It is my son. Behold him. That's the image that the Holy Spirit will conform you to. Glory to God. This next paragraph, he says, just like those seeds, now remember the seed, every generation, like wheat. If wheat seed diminished in its quality or in its ability, if wheat, every generation, every harvest, if it diminished, after this many thousands of years, wheat wouldn't be producing nothing. Even in nature, it's not like that. You know it's not like that. Now watch. In other words, every generation is none diminished. That's what he says here. He says, none diminished is the word I am imparting to your spirit this day, says the Lord. None diminished is my plan. None diminished is my will. None diminished from the image I provided. That is the plan of the Father. And as you behold the glory of him whom I have sent, as you behold that image I have provided to fill your hope, you are changed into that same image, that same likeness by the seed of him who was planted within you. Glory to God. It's a miracle I could hear that. You just don't. I know how I used to think on the inside. Don't tell me praying in tongues doesn't work. It took years. This was in 98. I started praying in those trucks in December of 1992. 93, 94, 95. Let's don't rush through this. We're talking thousands of hours. 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98. Finally, the Holy Spirit could teach me this. Glory to God. Took him a while now. But like Kenneth Hagin also says, and I know a lot of people now are getting to where they don't want to use the name Kenneth Hagin in their tapes. I revel in it. Amen. Now, just because there's a lot of stuff being taught underneath the Word of Faith banner that he never taught does not take away from the foundation that that man laid. Amen. Now, there's just a lot of stuff. His own disciples won't receive the book, the Midas Touch, and their spiritual father authored it. I was... Anyway. That just blows my mind away. I have trouble with that one. Anyway, so he's talking with, well, how do we do this then? You know, how do we do it? He says, I counsel you this day to incorporate hope with all your speaking. Now, I'm going to teach you on that here in just a minute. Truly, I have spoken unto you, These things only come by the saying. But where there is no vision, my people perish. The saying, the speaking apart from the vision, is as futile as the vision apart from the saying. Both are required, says the Lord. In this same, let me teach a little here out of that. During this same season is when he taught me, it wound up becoming one of our most asked for tape series called The God of Hope. How many, let me just see a show of hands. How many have heard our tape series called The God of Hope? Can I see your hands? My goodness. Y'all are aware those are free, right? I mean, you know, if you want them, you can have them. The God of Hope, I think it's a 6-tape series, might be 8, I don't remember. But it was spawned from another one of these face-to-face things. And let me just distill 6 or 8 tapes and give it to you here in about 5 minutes. You ever wonder why you can get people confessing the word? Somebody that's on their deathbed, somebody that's really sick. I mean, they've got cancer or something. And you get them actually confessing the word, and they're doing it. You sit by the bedside, and you know that they're doing it. You know, but you know, give them 4 or 5 scriptures, and they're, by His stripes I was healed. And maybe they're really sick and they're weak, and maybe they're down to like 95 pounds. Let me ask you, is that too hard for God? If he could put sinews on the dead man's bones in Ezekiel, I reckon He can raise somebody up from cancer, don't you? All right. So you get them actually confessing it. And they are confessing it. And you're sitting there timing them and watching them, and you know for sure. You know, Lord, You bless my bread. You bless my water. And You take sickness away from the midst of me. You are the Lord my God that healeth me. You are Jehovah Rapha, my healer. By the stripes of Jesus I was healed. Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. On and on and on. And they die. And here comes the devil. See there. And all your well-meaning friends. See there. Told you there wasn't nothing to it. Told you that stuff doesn't work. I couldn't figure that out because I had been healed so many times doing that very thing of different things. I could not understand that until the Holy Spirit taught me out of that God of Hope series. See, faith is here. Faith, what is it? It is the substance of things hoped for. And what I found out was I was getting them to actually saying it all right. But in their mind, they still saw themselves dying. They really had no image of them coming off of that bed. They were like, okay, brother, just because they love me and they did, maybe I wore them down. Maybe they weren't, you know, they're too weak to fight me now. Say it. Say it. Put God's word in your mouth and say it. Faith speaks on this wise, you know, teaching. And you get them to say it. But I didn't know in those early days how important hope was. Because you can say it till the cows come home, but if there's no hope in you, there is nothing for faith to give substance to. Now I know to counsel with them and talk with them. And I say, now what did you used to do when you was real healthy? What did you like to do? Maybe they like to go snow skiing. Maybe they like to go snorkeling. Maybe they like to do, you know, something. I said, you know, can you see yourself doing that again? And usually they're like, man, I hadn't even thought of that. I said, you're going to come off of this bed and you're going to snorkel again. Or climb mountains or whatever it is you like to do. Now you start seeing that. You got to get an image, a hope on the inside of you that you are coming off of this bed. Then as you confess, now faith has an image. It has hope. It has something that faith can give substance to. That's what he was telling me here in this lesson when it comes to this possessing really the life of Christ. Did you know that really the life of Christ is your promised land? It is your promised land. Sonship. I have come to prepare a place for you. Where? In my Father's house. Family lives there. Nobody else. Sonship. Now, not deity. Get that straight. He is not, you're not going to ever become God. Stop that Mormon stuff right now, okay? You're not ever going to be God over your own little planet. Forget it. We're talking about in His deity. We're talking about like He originally intended Adam to be the son. You know, the Bible says Adam originally was the son of God. He was the, you just read it yourself over there in the Luke's account, I believe it is. He means conform to that same image that we see of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In this life, later on, we're going to have a glorified body like His. I'm looking forward to that too. Amen. Let me read you some more here. But that's what he's talking about. He's going, look, just saying, I mean, it's better than nothing to say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. That's good. That brought us a long ways. That got me a long ways down the road. But where he's taking us now, that's not enough. I know, watch this. Or listen to this, I guess. Jesus, he is the image provided for all men to be conformed to. I intend for them to be conformed to that image, none diminished, says the Spirit of your Father. His life, the life of Christ in fullness, is the land of promise, which I have given unto my children. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread to appropriate that life in its fullness as your own, I will surely give it unto you. His life in its fullness is your inheritance. Do you ever wonder why Jesus would say things like, when the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to take of mine and show it unto you. Then He says, all that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that the Holy Spirit would take of mine and show it unto you. Plain English. You're going to be an heir. And all that the Father has belongs to you too. See, I'd already be stoned and run out of town in that denomination I grew up in. Receive the abundance of this grace. Receive it as your own. Possess it as your land to be inherited. Receive the abundance of this grace, which I have provided for my children. Receive the abundance of His righteousness, for it is truly yours. All that I have given Him, the Holy Spirit shall show unto you as being your inheritance to possess. He will lead you step by step. He will go before you and drive your enemies out from before your face, and you shall inherit the very life of Christ in fullness, says the Lord. This is my plan. For this purpose I provided the image that you are to be changed into. For this purpose I sent Him who is the express image of myself, that you may see the land before you and possess it as your own. It is yours as a gift. It is yours by inheritance. Wasn't the promised land a free gift? I have given you the land. Were they living in any of it at the beginning? It had to be possessed by war, didn't it? Guess what? Just exactly like He says here. He says, it is yours to possess. See, it is yours as a gift. It is yours by inheritance. It is yours to possess by my Spirit, says the Lord. There was enemies in that promised land. Giants in the land. What do you reckon that's a type and shadow of when it comes to you possessing the fullness of the life of Christ? What would be the giants? What's stopping you? You know you. You're still looking at your own failings and saying, we be not able. I can't be like that. I know how I am. Gary, how do you know that? Don't ask me that. For years and decades, say, I know that Christ isn't like that, but I can't. I just know who I am. And I can't change. I've tried and I can't. We be not able. Same thing the first bunch said. Holy Spirit's got to work on you till you have that same spirit of Caleb. If God be for me, I am well able to possess the land. And any strongholds in me, any problems in me, any giants in my land, they're bred for me. They're bred for me. I can change. And I will change. Yeah. And it's got nothing to do with us going to heaven. We're not talking about that. We're talking about possessing the land that the Father has given us on this side of heaven. Yes. Dear God, we're not going to need to cast out devils there. There won't be any. We're not going to need to heal the sick there. There's not going to be any. Not going to need to witness there. If they're there, they made it. I don't care what Carlton says. By the way, if you haven't read this month's Charisma, Some friends forwarded me an article by a man named Grady. Oh, he does a good job in that article, this month's Charisma. Anyway, getting back to this. Let me read you a little more here. It says, "For I have already given you this land, and the work has already been accomplished in him. The only thing remaining is for you to possess it by faith. But as I'm teaching you this day, first you must fill your hope with the image of him whom I have provided." Fill your hope with that image. Now, it's more important that we get this than that we finish this tonight. When he says, fill your hope with that image, Reese, would you come help me for just a minute? I always ask Reese because she loves me and she won't hurt me. Stand right on that side of the line. Okay. See, this is where the church and the whole prayer center is, and we're not against getting in lines. Please, if you need to get in line, get in line. I get in lines. Amen? But here's the way most of us are right now. I'm pretending to be Dave, okay, just for a moment. And you know Dave's got something that you need. We see ourselves as the needy ones. Mm-hmm. We're always coming up, I need help, I'm this and I'm that. And it's true. And you'll get something. But this image that he's trying to change on the inside of us is get you from that side of the green line to this side of the green line. Yeah. Where Reese goes, I know who I am. I know who my daddy is. I know why I'm here on the planet Earth. I am anointed with the Spirit of the living God. I have a gospel to the blind. Blind, you don't need to be blind anymore. Get yourselves. Put your toes on the green line. About that time, the song starts playing. And they don't sit in Daisy's chair. Thank you. Can you see that's what when he says, fill your hope with that image, he's trying to get us from identifying always with the blind, the halt, the sick, like we're on that side. He's trying to get us to understand you're the children, the offspring of Almighty God, and you are the seed, none diminished from the original, and what the first seed did, you can do also. Yeah. Glory to God. Fill our, but it's not just shouting about it in here, it's getting that image on the inside of you.
Yeah.
How strong are images? You know, a claustrophobic person, because they have an image on the inside of them, you could put them in an elevator where there's absolutely nothing in there to harm them. There's no Jack the Ripper. There's no spiders. There's nothing in there. It just put them in an elevator, turn the lights off. And the image on the inside with some of them can literally kill them. How strong is these images? How strong is this? You got to change the image, and that's what he's saying. The confessions are good. Just say it with me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And then the devil comes by on Tuesday and slaps you once with the Sears bill. And you go, I don't know why God has forsaken me. I don't know why. I'm just how I am. I can't believe God or nothing. We got a little more image changing to do on the inside of you. Mm-hmm. See? We got a little more image changing, a little more possessing to do. And that's what he's saying. Look, confession is like all the other tools. Confession is a good tool. Confession brings you possession. I say to you again, you will never rise above your confession. But if you can learn. Well, first off, let me just say the truth. I've been at this a long time. Not just here at the prayer center. I was teaching these principles of faith all the way back in 1980. I've been at this a quarter of a century. And I'm telling you, one of the hardest things on planet Earth to get people to do consistently is say about themselves what God says about them. They might do it for a little while. That's why we did the boot camp series, trying to get them to do it and say it. And so I would lead them in these confessions every week. And for a little while, kind of like that seed scattered on the ground. They loved it at first. And the seed began to grow. But see, it started hitting those thorns. The cares of this world. The lusts of other things. Persecution and affliction, just trouble. And pretty soon they're like all the other Christians. Just telling things that are as though they are. I can't even get them to say it consistently. And he's saying, saying it, if you said it perfectly all the time, that's not enough. Whoa. That's what he said. He said, no. The saying without the seeing will not work any more than the seeing without the saying. Now let's go back to Abraham. Is he not the father of our faith? Doesn't Romans 4 tell us that we are to walk in the steps of the faith of Abraham? Did you know God did more than just change his name? We all know about that. We've heard a lot of messages about that. You know, you're no more Abram, but now you are Abraham. So every time he says his own name, he's calling things that be not as though they were. Because Abraham means, I am the father of many nations. And he doesn't even have one child. But he's saying. But that's not all God did with him. Before he did that, he gave him a vision. He gave him hope, something to look at, something to fill his hoper with. And he took him out at night and he says, look up at the stars, Abram. Can you count those stars? I used to drive those trucks across the Arizona desert, get out in between cities where there's no lights. I mean, I've been more than once. I had to just pull the truck over and get out, shut off the headlights. Because, I mean, those stars, there's so many more than you can see in a city. And they're so close, you feel like it just looks like diamonds on black velvet. You just feel like you could reach over there and get a handful of them. I can imagine what that sky looked like in a desert where God had Abram go out. He's looking at those stars and, no, Lord, I can't count all those. He says, that's the vision. Fill your hope with that picture. Because that's how your seed will be. And he gave him something to look at in the daytime. We took him out in the desert. And there's the grains of sand. Mike, in a desert? And he says, can you count those grains of sand? How'd y'all like that job? No, I can't count all those grains of sand. He says, that's your image. That's your hope. See yourself getting off of the bed. You see the same principle we're talking about here? Now, what he's talking about really for us in this church, for us to ever possess the land, the promise that he gave Pastor Day. He says, I want you to take a group of people far enough into God to pull out the miraculous, to bring a supernatural revival to a religious city. You, me, your Daisy, all of us. And I know God's using all of us to various degrees, but we have got to get a new image on the inside. Not the image of, dear God, I need a miracle all the time. We've got to get the image, I'm the one through whom God does miracles all the time. And it's not your righteousness, it's still the righteousness of Christ doing all this. It's that nature on the inside of you is a free gift. You didn't earn it. But boy, you can nurture it. You can let the Holy Ghost have His way with it and bring it to maturity. We've got to get a new image on the inside. We're blessed, God, when we lay our hands on the blind, those blind eyes open. Amen. We lay our hands on the sick, they're healed. But all the other things, not just miracles. See, along with that, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See, and follow right on down. I am determined that you be conformed to the image of my Son. Before Jesus can conquer this city, He first has to conquer us. And He does that with that new nature. Did y'all get anything out of that? Yes. To be continued. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, how would you just begin putting this in practice? Those of you that might still have that old book, that In Him, that'd be a good place to start. Mardell still sells it. Used to be a dollar. I think it's $1.50 now. Pretty good investment. $1.50 in Christ. But this time when you're going through there saying those things, this time add some image to it. Add some hope to it. You've been down the born again trail now. You already know you're a son. You're an heir. An offspring of the living God. In training for the ministry. Glory to God. That's my second close. It's hard to quit. At this stage anymore, I don't ever get through. I just have to quit. So tonight, I quit. Father, we thank You for Your Word, Lord. We know that You're bringing forth these things in due season. Father, you had to take us down the born-again trail. You have to deliver us from religion, Father. Sometimes that old foundations have to be broken up before we can lay new foundations. Old walls and structures of knowledge that were inside of us, they have to be torn down and the wreckage hauled away. Where you can build new with your word and teach us, Lord, the truth. Father, we sure thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, who totally understands perfectly all of these things. And Father, as we yield our minds to your word and our spirits to your Holy Spirit, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, Lord, you're bringing us into perfect, exact knowledge of these things, not just so we can know them, but, Lord, so we can walk in them. Father, there's a whole world out there that needs to see Jesus. Help us be the vessels where they can look and see that Jesus is Lord. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen.